This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. And this time out, we are delivering on our promise of a Jacksonville Jaguars special. If you remember, we had scheduled this episode for last week, but such is life in the NFL. We had to reschedule with some of our guests while they were busy doing what they're paid for, preparing for the upcoming season. But here we are, and we have a treat in store for you with two new faces in Duval County, head coach Urban Meyer and the number one overall pick from the 2021 NFL Draft, Trevor Lawrence. So, with two special guests in this episode, it's a little different to our usual style. So first, we're going to hear from Coach Meyer before getting into it with Trevor. And remember, throughout the 2021 season, we are being supported by NFL Game Pass. If you head over to nflgamepass.com, you can watch this Jacksonville Jaguars special for free, along with all our other episodes from the current season. So here is Coach Urban Meyer.
Well, first of all, great to be with you and great to just share our thoughts about this incredible organization, Jacksonville Jaguars, that we're going to get this thing going here. So I have coached for a long, long time, almost 35 years. I've always been a believer in the athlete and the, you know, giving the athlete the best of the best. But when you start talking about what wins to me, speed wins. And I don't necessarily mean 40-yard dash speed, but I mean speed. And speed is a combination of obviously talent, but it's also relentless effort and fearless. If you're a player and you're concerned, and coaches do this all the time, how do you slow down a great athlete? You make him fearful of him or her being fearful of making a mistake or overcomplicating things, which we have all done many, many times. So the coaching philosophy is here is keep it simple. And the premium is placed on effort and finish. And I really believe that effort overcomes mistakes all the time. And if you don't believe that, then you won't go hard. So that's the, if you had to say, what's the philosophical structure of the Jaguars is play fearless. Don't worry about making mistakes. They happen. And you play harder and longer and faster than your opponent.
We may hear the terms during your tenure, 4-6 and A to B. What will they mean when we hear those?
You're going to hear that if you're here in the building, you'll hear it, 60 to 70 times a day. I hope you're going to certainly hear that from me and our staff. Our players are starting to talk like that. So that's all about relentless effort. 4 to 6 seconds is the length of the average length of a play in the NFL. And so we expect you for 4 to 6 seconds, go as hard as possibly you can. It's called relentless effort. And then you regroup and go again. And A to B is there's always a starting point B, A, excuse me. There's a starting point A and a finish point B. And I tell people I'm the A to B coach. On Monday after that game, I'm going to watch every snap and I'm going to certainly evaluate the strategy and everything else. But I'm also going to make sure I'm evaluating that player is going to go to A to B. And if he's not going there, I will address it with the position coach and I'll address it with the player because that's not the way the Jaguars do it.
I'm sure you develop your philosophies over many years coaching. I wonder as an assistant, sometimes you hear about coaches that compiled notebooks. You know, they had these big binders about what they wanted to do when they became a head coach. Have you kind of always had that view towards being a head coach? And did you collect notes along the way during your career?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was kind of well documented throughout the years. People actually did many stories on it. But I started at a very young age. And I started, it was back well before iPads and computers and everything else. It was called Manila folders back then and notepads and breaking your pencils. And you had your briefcases filled with pencils and highlighters. And I would just gather information and I just started calling it the plan to win. And I would drive, it was not uncommon for me to drive 5 to 6 hours to go hear an hour lecture and then drive back because I was just trying to gather as much knowledge and information as I possibly could. And I started something called a plan to win. And it was, you know, in my world, it was legendary. I had that cheap briefcase that I would carry around, a plastic briefcase, and there'd be just packs of these manila folders in it that I would just stuff things in, whether it be about discipline, whether it be off-season training, offense, defense, kicking game, leadership. And I wouldn't get enough of it. And when I finally got the opportunity to become a interview for a head coaching job, I remember taking that briefcase and it took me, you know, a long time and I just was, and I kind of worked it throughout my career. But I walked into that interview, and there's a, I think three, no, just two people. Two people, I walk in, I hand them a plan to win, and it kind of took them back. I mean, it was every T crossed, every I dotted about how to go win a game at Bowling Green State University. And 24 hours later, I got a phone call, and I wasn't thinking I'd get it. And they said, we'd like you to be our coach. And I was like, so that was the plan to win.
You had a plan to win, and you have won so much at the collegiate level. So this is a very simple but quite a personal question. Are you a bad loser?
Awful.
That's good, isn't it?
You know, college, you get to places like Ohio State, and the reality is you line up, you got better players than a good many teams you play. When I went to Bowling Green, that wasn't the case. When I went to Utah, we did. We had great players, but we developed them and won a bunch of games. Utah was the same way. I think we were picked last in the conference. It's Bowling Green. I think we were picked last in the country, and we flipped it. But you start getting and you start recruiting well, reality is that you'll be favored in many of the games you play. The opposite of that's true is obviously the NFL. I'm not sure we'll be favored in one game next year. You know, reality is that team across the field's got every bit what you got and sometimes more.
So how do you feel about that as you come to the NFL? I know you did a lot of research. I saw that story that you've and again, the plan to win probably has been now extended to the NFL. Sounds like you did a lot of work leading up to this point to get back or to get into the NFL. So it is going to be a little bit different though, isn't it?
Sure. It's completely different in a lot of ways, and it's exactly the same I'm finding out in a lot of ways. And the difference is that I primarily is what I told you is that, you know, you're dealing with 50-50 at best as far as who you're playing. The second one is you're dealing with grown people. You know, these are grown men. Not all of them. Some of these young players come out of college. I wouldn't consider them grown men yet. They're still adults, but they're still learning. They're still growing. I have Marvin Jones, who's a 31-year-old man. I think he's got three or four children, and Tyler Shatley and Brendan Linder. And these guys are grown men. They're families. I say it's different, but it's not really different. At the end of the day, I want to say about 7-8 years ago, I really just changed our philosophy, even in college, because we were, you know, I had Chase Youngs and Zeke Elliott's, Mike Thomas, and, you know, Bosa brothers. All these guys are going to make $20 million. Life has become about value. It's always been that way to a degree, not quite to the degree now. So everybody's wants their value increased. And so if that player can believe that this organization, myself and their coach, can increase their value, we got them. If they believe we can increase their value, you're going to have a hard time coaching that player.
So if you adapt your style, isn't that what coaching is? I mean, I love NFL history. So I read back in the day that Don Shula was 3 yards in a cloud of dust with Larry Zonka. Then I grew up watching the Dolphins, and he's throwing it all over the yard with Dan Marino. Isn't that what coaching is? Adapting to wherever you are, whoever you're coaching.
I mean, that's what successful coaching is. You know, coaching, when you see failures, most people want to blame the player. A lot of people want to blame the coach. I don't do that. I don't do either. I blame the culture. I blame the leadership. And what you just said, the inability to adapt. When we've had failures throughout my career, it's because of inability by our staff or players to adapt. So I think that's very, you know, first of all, it's very observant, a great question, and it's real.
Why the Jacksonville Jaguars, and also why the NFL at this stage in your life, when you'd done it all at the college level? What made you want to get back in?
You know, I just started felt that nudged a year ago, or actually 2 years ago. I started getting a lot of phone calls, and I loved what I was doing. I was on television with Fox College Football. I'm getting to that point in my life of, do I have one more swing or not? I've been intrigued by the NFL my entire career. I have so much respect for the NFL and the players and the coaches in this league. And then I just went on a 12-month journey. I studied, I did interviews, I interviewed my former players, I did my homework, and then I came across this owner named Shad Khan of Jacksonville. One of the most interesting people I've ever met. It's in an area of the country that I've lived before. We love it here. And it was almost like it was there for you. We have the number one overall draft pick. We have a good number of draft picks. We have free agent space, cap space, and we have good core players. So it was almost like a perfect storm, an opportunity to go take a swing.
When you take on a challenge like this, are you first addressing the roster, the culture, or is it all of it?
You've done very good. I don't know where you got these questions, but that's exactly what the questions that should be asked and I would ask. The minute you are hired as a CEO, as a coach, as a leader of anything, as a teacher, or as if it's something where there's an evaluation in the win-loss category, the first thing that you need to do is you need to develop and implement a culture. That's the first thing. The second thing you have to do is have a plan for talent acquisition. That includes personnel, obviously players, but also staff. Other than that, you're going to be asked to do hundreds of things. That will have no impact on you winning or losing. If you focus on number one, development and implementation of a culture, number two, talent acquisition, and you're successful in those two areas, I don't care what else happens, you're going to be successful.
What did you see when you put on the tape looking at the Jags last year? So it was a one-win team, but they were close in other games. They went to Lambeau Field, almost beat the Packers. What did you see there?
I saw at least six games where it came down to the final drive. I saw a team that had, in the last 3 years, have had more in the bottom third of the league as far as injuries and soft tissue injuries, so a lot of the good players weren't playing. I saw a team that didn't really finish all the time. When they had opportunity to finish plays or finish a game, they didn't do it. And most importantly, I saw some really good core players. I saw guys that are very talented guys. You know, obviously, you know, they didn't play well all the time, but I saw a good core group of players.
I'm not sure how many interviews you do, Coach, where, you know, there's six or seven questions in before you get the Trevor Lawrence question, but here it comes then. What is he like on the field, around the locker room, around the guys? What can we expect? How excited are you to be working with him?
Well, the first thing that you have to address is his skill set, and it's unique. It's almost 6'6". He's a very good athlete. I want to say 4'5", to 4'6". Speed in the 40-yard dash. He's got great arm strength, great accuracy, delivery. His mindset's terrific. He's a very smart player. He works at it. He's a winner. He's, you know, 34-2 as a college athlete. Won a national title as a freshman. But then let's go ahead and throw that all away. You're talking about an awesome human being. You're talking about a guy that married his high school sweetheart. He's committed to her. He's committed to that family. He was raised the right way. He's got great leadership skill. And he's a good man of faith that believes in treating people the right way. So check, 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 check. Everything's checking. Now we just got to win.
All right, good stuff. Coach, I'm going to try and keep the good questions rolling. I'm on a roll, so I'm not going to jeopardize this. I know not to ask a NFL head coach how many wins or losses he wants in a season. I'm not going to ask you that. I know that. But what would make you happy in 2021? What would you consider? And I'm not putting a number on it, but what is progress? What is, when you're sitting back at the end of this season, we've gone in the right direction. What will that be?
You know, I've changed over the years that I used to try to put, you know, we're going to win the conference championship. We're going to win I'm going back to college, you know, the national title. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in the old fashioned extrinsic goals that you really at times don't have control over. You know, you don't have control over injuries. You don't have control over committees who pick you, you know, so I've gone back and I'm very proud over the last 10 years or so. We've played our best after adversity. For example, if I say our goal is to win a national title, we lose a game, you'll see it sometimes. Teams fold their tent and they won't win another game. We've actually we haven't lost a lot, but we would actually get stronger after a loss, you know, because our whole thing was, and it's going to be the same here, is I want to maximize who you are as a player or coach. Just give us your very best. If that team has given us our very best, I think we're good enough to win some games next year. And so when you say, what's our goal? What's our objective? To maximize every person in this organization so they can give us the very best.
How do you deal with the pressure? And I know you've been in some huge spotlights. So how do you deal with that pressure? And how do you balance work-life balance? I've interviewed Sean Payton, who has beds in the offices for his coaches. I've interviewed Bruce Arians, who goes home at 5 o'clock. There's different ways of doing it. How do you balance the two?
I'm a pretty good guy to answer some questions too. Those ones I don't have the answers. I have received an F grade in a few of those a few times. I've had trouble with work life balance, and I do believe in that. I believe that. I don't believe in staying in the office. It's always been hard for me to turn it off. I've gotten better as I got older. It reached a point when I was at Florida, I just couldn't shut it off. It occupied every second of my life about perfection. We won two national titles and how are we going to win our third? And Florida's never been undefeated. And I remember to this day, it was, and I would try to shut it off and I couldn't. So, and how do you handle pressure? You know, I've, I've dealt with it my entire career. Obviously, it's a very high pressure job. I've handled it at times well, but other times I have not. And so balance is the key word. And my go-tos when I'm in a good place is because my faith is strong. My, you know, I devoted to being a Christian and be doing the right thing and studying it, staying in the word. And I believe in that. The second thing is my family and my health. If my, you know, if I'm spending those, there's nothing else I'd rather do than be with my kids, my grandkids, and my wife. There's nothing else. If I get that taken from me, it's not good. And then the final piece, if I'm not sleeping and eating and working out, you know, that's not good. So my advice would be get those mechanisms in place. And that's what I'm trying to do on this summer. I'm going to work on that is make sure I'm in great shape mentally and physically. I have a good plan for attack about devotionals in the morning to get my mind right. And then I make sure I secure family time throughout the week.
We'll be back with our Jacksonville Jaguars special after this short break.
Hi there, Neil Reynolds podcast listener. I'm Yarick Zaba, and I'm here to tell you about another Highway 61 network series called Broadway to Brazil. Broadway to Brazil takes a close look at the Corinthian Casuals, a side that play in the seventh tier of English football, yet have one of the most rich and significant stories that the game has to offer. In our second series, we've uncovered a whole host of incredible stories. From the day the Brazilian icon Socrates pulled on the pink and brown casual shirt to the story of Andrew Watson, the first black international footballer, via a bizarre tale of Soviet visitors at the end of the Cold War. All of this and more help to explain why the Corinthian Casuals are a far from typical non-league side. Find Broadway to Brazil on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ryan Jensen, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
So it's me back in the NFL Game Pass seat after Gary Fielding last time out, and I'm here to tell you all about how you can make sure you don't miss a second of the action in 2021. Yes, that's right. Kickoff for the 2021 season is here. Don't miss a moment of the 2021 campaign, starting with the Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As defending Super Bowl champions, Tom Brady will be leading a Bucs team ready to defend their title, whereas on the flip side, well, Dak Prescott is out to rectify the result of the last matchup against the GOAT. As Brady enters his 21st NFL season, could this be the last time the pair clash? It's a big first week, so don't miss it. Start your Game Pass free trial now by heading over to nflgamepass.com or by downloading the app. Remember, you don't need a credit card, and all episodes from the current season of the Neil Reynolds Podcast are also available to watch.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast and our Jacksonville Jaguars special. Now, before the break, we heard from Coach Meyer on his approach to the game and his plan to win. Big part of that in the coming season will lean on his rookie quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who was, of course, the first overall pick in the NFL draft this year. I caught up with Trevor ahead of the new season, starting by asking him how long he has lived in the spotlight.
I think it's elevated for sure since my freshman year of college, a little bit in high school, but I was from, you know, a small town. So it never was, you know, it was all people I knew anyway. So it was just kind of, it was cool. But then when I got to college, especially after our national championship, my freshman year, it really just kind of took off, and it was hard for me to really go anywhere without, you know, people stopping me or wanting to talk or whatever. It just, things kind of changed for me a little bit. So I'd say since then, and it's just like increased every year since then.
How do you cope with it?
Yeah, just surrounding myself with good people. You know, there's a lot of people want to build me up. There's a lot of people that want to tear me down too, but just surrounding myself with consistent people who, you know, speak the right things into me and don't just always tell me what I want to hear, but also love on me and, you know, care for me because of who I am, not because of what I can do. So I think that's been a huge thing for me. And then my faith is, I'd say, the rock of who I am. And it's kind of kept me steady and given me really great perspective in the midst of all the craziness. And like I said, all the voices, both directions, like my faith has been the rock.
Do you think that's as important how you deal with the attention and the pressure? And now you say they either build you up or tear you down. There'll be people that do both. They'll build you up, then tear you down. That's kind of how the media sometimes works. Do you think dealing with all that is as important as footwork, throwing mechanics, how you use your eyes and read a defense? Is it a big part of it now for you as you go through the next 15, 20 years of your life?
For sure. The mind is a powerful thing, and you really can't do anything if you're not healthy and you're not in a good space mentally and, you know, emotionally, spiritually, all those things, whatever you believe in, everybody's different. But I really am a big believer in being at peace. And I don't think you can, you know, optimize your ability or potential, whatever it is, if you're not at peace and you don't feel confident in who you are. And I've been on both sides of it where I feel great, where I am at peace and I play great and everything just flows. You're going to have some hard days too. But then I've been on the other side where I don't feel right, you know, mentally, whatever. And it's tough, especially in this league. So many good players, a lot of pressure on you. Like, you really got to take care of yourself. And that's been a big thing for me.
Have you always been a quarterback?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a quarterback. My first year playing football, when I was six, I was an offensive lineman. And I was playing with eight-year-olds. I was one of the only six-year-olds. They just, put me on the O-line. Other than that, I've always been a quarterback. Since I was, 4 years old, I've, you know, been watching football, throwing the ball with my dad. That's always what I wanted to be.
What quarterbacks did you like watching growing up? And do you think some of them have actually influenced your game, even if it's subconsciously?
Yeah, there's been a lot of guys that I've enjoyed watching growing up. I'd say my favorite player was Peyton Manning. And that's someone I probably have the closest relationship with that I, you know, when I was a kid that I was a fan of. Obviously, I watched Tom Brady. You know, he's arguably the best to ever do it. So just seeing the things that he's still able to do at, you know, 43 or however old he is, it's just amazing. And then Aaron Rodgers is a guy, I guess, as I've gotten older, I've really looked at, because I mean, he's just, you know, it's kind of amazing the things he can do. His arm strength, ability to see the field, his feel for the game, he can extend plays, just everything. I really try to take pieces of that and just mold it with the things that I do well.
Yeah, if you think about some of the very different, some of the guys you just mentioned there, and actually, if you can put them all together, fascinating stuff. I mean, it's interesting with Peyton Manning. Maybe this is something you could tell us inside your position. I think back to watching Peyton, and sometimes it wasn't a perfect spiral because he'd seen something so quickly that he just wanted to get the ball out there. You know, sometimes you see that old NFL films footage of a Peyton Manning pass wobbling through the air, but then it's a touchdown. Yeah. That being able to dissect and read a defense is a huge part of your position, isn't it?
For sure. The same thing. I mean, different. I'm talking about the game now, but just the mental part of the game is, that's the thing I've noticed is I've played with guys in college that had more talent than some of the guys that I've played against or played with and now being in the NFL, but it's just the mental aptitude, how fast you see things, how you react, how prepared you are. That makes a difference. You'd rather be prepared and know what the defense is going to do and know all of your responses than be a little bit faster. It doesn't really help you that much if you don't know what you're seeing out there. So all those things, that's the thing I've noticed is this, it's so much more mental on this level. The guys you're going against have watched everything you've done. They've studied you, all that. So it's really interesting how mental the game is.
Yeah. And you're trying to piece together and pull together all those different things, but is there kind of one key you couldn't do without as a quarterback, whether that's the mental prep or accuracy or arm strength? Is there one thing you feel like you just can't be a top quarterback unless you've got X or Y?
Oh man, it's tough. There's so many things.
Yeah, so many things. I know. Yeah.
I definitely think processing and how well you can handle and dissect information is probably the most important. There's a lot of guys, some of the best quarterbacks, like Tom Brady, he's got a strong arm, but he doesn't have the strongest arm. Peyton Manning didn't have the strongest arm. And those are two of the best to ever play in the NFL. So you look at those two guys, it's definitely not arm strength. I think it's one, their ability to lead a team, and then two, obviously how they could process information, how prepared they were, and just getting their team, their offense in the right situation. I think that's huge. And then accuracy, if you're going to talk about a trait, but that's really just something that you have to work on. It's not I don't think people are naturally accurate. It just comes from work, and accuracy is, you know, really a mixture of, it's the quarterback, but it's also getting with your receivers and timing and, you know, anticipation, all those things is that's what makes people accurate. It's not really exactly right where you throw the ball. It's when you throw it, how you throw it, all those things.
Just a couple more quickly, because I know we're almost out of time. Just a couple more minutes. do you set yourself goals for your career? You're just about to embark on your NFL career. Do you kind of think about where you want to be by the end, or do you try not to bite off that bigger chunk?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really set goals for my career. Obviously, I know I want to win a Super Bowl, at least, you know, hopefully a few. I don't, you know, you just never know how things are going to work out, but that's my goal. And other than that, like, I'm not a big stat guy. I don't really put goals on, you know, I want to throw this many touchdowns for this many yards this season. I don't really do that. Like I said, I just want to try to win every game that we're in. And I really want to, it's powerful when you have a group that believes that. And I think that's the way we're trending right now, is we're getting guys to believe. And I feel like we're in a really good spot. And I would, you know, like you said, I'm never going to put this how many games we're going to win this season, but, you know, I feel good with the group we have and just to keep getting better. But I'd say for my career, yeah, the goal is to ultimately win a Super Bowl. So
fans in Florida will be very excited about your arrival, but also in the UK, Jags have been very committed to the UK. How do you feel about playing a game in London?
I'm excited. I've only been out of the country one time, and that was a couple months ago for me and my wife's honeymoon. We went to Mexico. So That's the only time I've been out of the country. So I'm excited for that. I think it's really cool what the NFL and UK is doing, going over there and playing games and just spreading this game beyond America. You know, obviously football is such a big sport in America, but outside of that, you know, it doesn't really have, you know, doesn't get that much coverage. People aren't as invested, and it's cool to see us moving that to, you know, to the UK and you guys being so invested in it and so excited. It's really cool, especially from our perspective. It's awesome.
Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.